Blog Talk Radio.
Oh God, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless the Lord. I will bless him going. I will bless him coming. I will bless him at all times. This is Pastor Ola Starling with your Anointed Word Ministries. I am blessed once again to come before you, thanking God for you. Thanking God for allowing me, praise God, opportunity to come into your home to bring forth, praise God, the bread of life. I'm enjoying Jesus. Amen. And I pray, praise God, that even through this week, praise God, it's been a week, praise God, that you have enjoyed the Lord and that you know that he is one. Praise God, is there for you at any cost. I tell you, praise God, it's just a blessing, praise God, to be here today. It's just a blessing, praise God, to be with the Lord and know him. In times like these, we need a Savior. We need a Savior our lives. We need a Savior, praise God, that is there for us, that is there, praise God, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that he would never leave us or forsake us, but he would be with us until the end of the universe, the world. And I'm just blessed, praise God, to know him. I am so glad that he chose me and I didn't choose him. Because when he makes the choice is final. And I just thank God, praise God, because he's a God that knows all things. He knows, praise God, the things before we ask. He knows, praise God, before we come to him about anything. He's there for us. He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He would never, praise God, walk out on us. But he's there for us. And that's the blessing of today. And tonight, praise God, we're going to continue, praise God, to study. We praise God that we were talking about the church. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I tell you, praise God, the Lord is upset with the church. Because he's upset, praise God, because men are doing as they please. They're not doing as he told them to do. And the Lord is upset. You see, God give command. He give command, praise God, and he speaks in command. And when he speaks, praise God, he expects, praise God, for his followers, his children, to follow through and listen to what he has to say. And today, praise God, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thanking you for love and strength. Thanking you for being my God. Thanking you for keeping me. Thank you for blessing my children up and down danger highways. Father God, you cover us under the blood. You protect us. You bind Satan in every hand. Praise God, you don't let him get a foothold in. But God, you rebuke him and you rebuke him, Father, and you cast him down. And Lord, I'm excited because I know that it's all you, Jesus. And Father, I can depend on you. I thank you, Father God, for meeting every need. I thank you, praise God, for going beyond, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for knowing, praise God, all things. Because, Father God, you are all-knowing God. Father, I'm excited about you today. Because I realize, Father God, I am where I am because of you, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. And I thank you, praise God, for keeping. I thank you for blessing. I thank you for protecting. I thank you, praise God, for turning it around. I thank you, praise God, for making death behave. I thank you, Father God, for the power. I thank you, praise God, for your love. I thank you for your mercy. Father God, I'm like David. If I had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough to praise you and give you the praise and the glory and the honor that is due unto your name. Father God, is just you, Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but the Lord. Amen. And I do thank you, Jesus, and I thank you tonight. But Father God, as I come to you now, Lord, allow this word to come forth with purity, understanding, and clarity. Father God, because you are speaking the word, praise God. The Bible declared, Father, you said, those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And Father God, we're speaking today. Word of life, that they may hear it, obey it, and take it to heart. Amen. And Father God, I do give you praise for those under the sound of my voice that do not know you in the pardon of their sin, that they will, praise God, take heed, open up, praise God, that you may come in, sit with them and you with them, and they with you. You become their God, and they become your children. And Father God, you're still saving, you're still healing, you're still delivering, hallelujah, you're still providing. And God, I do give you praise today because, God, I realize that it's all you, Jesus. It's just you, Jesus. And I do give you praise. And I do give you glory. And I do honor you right now. In the name of Jesus, I do it, say it all. Amen. But tonight we're going to continue, praise God, with the word, praise God, from the book of Revelation. Praise God, Revelation, praise God. We're going to go to Revelation because the Lord has a message in that word of Revelation. Because what he's trying to get over to his people. In Revelation 3:14 through 27, the Lord is speaking, praise God, because at this time, praise God, he's a little weary with the church. He's a sick with the church. He's a really, praise God, he's disgusted with the church. Praise the Lord. And in Revelation 3:14 and 22, the last church, praise God, he spoke to us, Laodicea. And Laodicea, he left a message for you, the churches of America. He left a message for you. He said, you make me sick. My goodness, ha. Huh? The Lord is saying to us today, you make me sick, churches of Laodicea. And what was he saying to us, praise God? He was upset, praise God, because he was seeing, praise God, and he was paying attention to how they were running the church and how they was doing the church, because they say it's my church. That's what they say. That's what they say to us. That's my church. This is my church. Well, I want to let you know, let me help you out with this, because the word has been declared. You just say it's not your church, it's his church. And if it's his church, he has to say, and he has the last say of what goes on in his church. And if it's not run, praise God, and set up the way he would want it to be, he will deal with you. Yes. And when Jesus come, praise God, to his church, he come as God's final word to humanity. In Hebrew 1 and 2, he comes as the confirmer of all God's promises. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. Please get a pen. Write these scriptures down that you may go back and read this. Praise God. This is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. And regardless of how this church saw itself, Jesus comes to tell them the truth. And today, people are not telling the truth. They're lying to the people. They're lying to keep them coming into the congregation. They're lying to keep them coming so they can take up offering. They're not telling the people the truth. They're not giving them the truth. They're preaching watered-down gospels, and they're not telling them what needs to be said. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Hey, Kabasa. He said this, praise God. Jesus come to tell the truth. He comes to have the final say. To a lot of sins, you lying churches, you lying preachers, he come as a confronting one. He also come as the faithful and the true witness. This church has a vision of itself. What was the flaw? What was the flaw? Jesus wanted them to know that he knows them as they really are. And that he has come to reveal the true state of the church. It's in a wreck. It's in a mess. It's in turmoil. Everything you do, you're doing it to try to satisfy your flesh. You're doing it to satisfy the people. But where am I? It is my church. Why can't I get some satisfaction in it? Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. And he says this. He says, I come. He knows that they are really what they really are. And he has come to reveal their true state. Their testimony lied about him. And he has come to set the record straight. People get up and they cast a lie because they want to seem like they got it. They want to seem like they're in connection with God. He said he want to set the record straight. You're lying. You lie. Your testimonies are nothing but lies. He come as a controlling one. He also called. He said, hey, Jesus. He is also called the beginning of the creation of God, the identified Christ as a creature and the creator and the control of all things. Not a speck of dust can move in the universe without him. Not a speck of dust. He said it, praise God, his permission. He is in control. He come to the church that thought it was running its own show. Hallelujah. Jesus come to remind them that in spite of all what you do, what you may think, how you may want it to look like, his hand, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, his hand is still on the wheel, and he is the one who controls the church, people. The church, praise God, is supposed to be controlled by God, not man, not the bishop, not the preacher, not the teacher, but by God. He's not on programs. You can't put him on a program. He's the one that's running it. If you would do this well, remember who Jesus is. He is the still God. He's still God, the final word to the church. He is the one who knows us better than we know ourselves. He is the one in control in spite of what people would like to think or may say. A divine announcement, when he says this, he has a word for this church, Laodiceus, you make me sick. The Church of America is nothing but Laodiceus. They make him sick. You run it like you want to run it. You do what you want to do in it. You ain't seeking God to do anything. You're doing it because you think. You think it's the right thing to do. Hallelujah. He said, Laodiceus, you make me sick. He has a word for this church. The Lord desires for the church. His desire is. The water situation, praise God, we talked about last night in Laodiceus. It reflected in the church, lukewarm. By the time the water reached Laodiceus, it is no longer possesses. It no longer possesses, praise God, the therapeutic priorities of the hot water out of the springs, nor did it provide the refreshing quality for the cool waters from Colossus. The water was temperate. It was very temperate, and it was undesirable. It was just water. It just looked like water. It had no temperature to it. It wasn't warm. It wasn't cold. What good was your water? What good was the water? Jesus said to the church that he wants them to be either hot or cold. He wants his church to be a place people can relax and find healing. A place where people can take a trip and find relaxation and get closer to God. He wants his church to be a place where people can come and refresh by his worship and his presence. His worship and his presence. Many of these things that are that terrible, Shata, the things that are going on in the house of the God is not God, it's about you. You dance and you shout and you just, it's you. Check your motives. Check your motives while you do what you do. You can shout and you can dance, but yet you still hate your brother. You can't get along with your sister. But you're still what? In God's presence. He said, you church, you Laodicea churches, you make me sick. He told him, the Lord tell them that he's going to spew them out of his mouth. The word spew is a strong word. It means vomit you out or throw you up. Yes, it is something that makes you want to just throw up. Oh, my God, sick at your stomach. Make you so sick you just get dizzy and want to vomit. The churches of Laodicea in America. And the thing that you see them do, it induces vomiting in cases of poison stuff. It makes you want to puke. Yes. You just tell the church, they're like a drink of lukewarm water. They make him want to vomit out of them, vomit them out of his mouth. What he means is this. He cannot and will not tolerate your indifference and your apathy. I do not want to be a part of any church that brings the disgust of our Lord Jesus Christ in this case. No, I don't want to be a member of a church. For the simple reason, praise God, because they're sick. They're going about doing what they want to do. They have no fellowship with God. They're doing it because it makes them feel good. Makes them feel good enough, praise God, to know. To know, praise God, that it's them and he's not in it. He said, you church of Laodicea, you make me sick. You make me sick, says the Lord. The Lord describes the Lord description of this church, according to verse 17, they thought they had it all. They thought they had it all. He looked at them and telling them they have nothing. They were proud of their accomplishments. They were very proud of their accomplishment. They loved what they did. Oh, we raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh, yes. We raised the money. Your accomplishments, your achievements. Yes. Jesus called them wretched, which means troubled and miserable, which means to be pitied. He pitied you. They're proud of their wealth. Jesus tells them they are actually poor. The word means destitute and reduced to begging. That's what they do. Ah, Jesus, hey God, they were proud of their vision of themselves. Jesus tells them they are blind. They cannot see themselves as they really are because they hide behind their achievements. Make them think they're all big and just cunning on themselves. They're so proud about the achievement they have accomplished. Someone said there's nothing won. There is no one so blind as he would not see. They were proud of their fashion and their fine clothing. Yes, because I wear Michael Kors. I wear, praise God, I'm wearing right now, I have the Gucci's or whatever you want to call it, all the name brand stuff, the Prodigies and all of this type of stuff. Everything you have, you're proud of it. Of the fashion, Jesus tell them they are naked. You nothing. You naked before God. They are totally exposed and revealed. But they really are. To be naked in the society was the ultimate. The ultimate, yes, meaning humiliation. Now it is a badge of honor. Now you honor yourself. A divine advertisement. Jesus tells his church exactly what he can do. They need to do to find all they need. Come for spiritual value. If they would come to him, put him first, and love him out of the word of God, they would know the riches. He called them to get on the spiritual gold standard and live out of genuine faith before a lost world. Because the world is dying before the church, and the church is dancing their way to hell. Yes, hallelujah. They see their wealth disappear down here, but they will be lying as treasures over there. Matthew 6:19-21, 1 Peter 1:3-5. He tells them to come for spiritual, for your spiritual vestige. He invites them to adorn themselves in spiritual garments, not your Gucci's. Spiritual garments. Yes, he invites them to adorn themselves in spiritual garments. This is an invitation to come to him for salvation, my friend. They are naked and lost in their sin. If they will come to Jesus, he will clothe them in the robe of righteousness, and they will be no longer naked as exposed in the sight of God. Hey, God, you care about Sada. You're trying to cover for the world, but you're naked before God. You're naked before him. You're trying to look good for the world, but you're naked before God. He says, come, praise God. Come. In Isaiah 61:10, Revelation 19:8, God says, come for spiritual vision. He would invite them to come. He's going to tell you what you need to get it right. He said, I would invite you to come to him so that he can restore your spiritual vision. You can see spiritual things. Right now you're blind and you cannot see. And when, praise God, that vision, supervision is restored, they will be able to see themselves as they are, and they will be able to see him as he is. And this will lead the repentance and the obedience, praise God. Oh, God, a devotion, obedience in human and a humble service, he said. We need the spiritual vision. There are people dead, they are dry and indifferent and spiritually dead because they cannot see themselves or are the Lord as either truly he is. Jesus can open the blind eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:4-4, Luke 4:18. Some spiritual advice, Jesus invited them to come to him. Then he gave them a much needed word of advice. Yes, a word of compassion. As many as I love, in spite of their indifference toward him, he still loved them. What a blessing. What a blessing. Jesus don't just write people off when they don't do as he pleases, but he calls them and continues to love them, even when they reject him and don't love him. Word of caution, my friend, I rebuke and chasten. Jesus tells them as he says this, and as those that because he loves us like we are, he loves us so much to leave us as we are, he won't do it. In effort to get our attention, he will use two methods to turn us to him. First, he will rebuke us. The word means to convict and to correct. He will speak to our condition. He will send his word, and he will convict us in our heart through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the ministry of people, but of the Holy Spirit. In John 6, 16, 17, and 11. And if we come to him, he will receive us. If we fail to heed this rebuke, he would use more direct methods. The word chasing means to correct with a blow. He may touch any area of our life to get our attention. He might even use death. My God, my God, my God, my God. Hey, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11:13, those who refuse to talk and to walk in God's path will encounter trouble in their lives. Proverbs 13:15, Jeremiah 2:19, Proverbs 15:10, the word of counsel, be zealous and repent. For the word zealous, give us the word zealousy. It means to come to a boil. Jesus is calling this church to get on fire for him. When they see their needs and turn to him, it will manifest itself in genuine repentance. Remember, repentance can be defined as a change of mind that results in a change of direction. But you see, praise God, Laodiceans were to repent. They would come alive into the Lord and his repentance in the church. They would be moved by the cross and by the plundering of the lost sinners. Today, praise God, people don't want sinners. They have no need for them because everybody's saved now. They want the good worker, the one with the good job, the one that comes to church regularly. They can be there, they can do whatever they want to do, live like they want to live, as long as they're paying their tithes and giving their offering. But you don't have no need for sinners. We need to hear and heed the voice of the Lord in these days, and when we need to repent, we will repent. We need to ask the Lord to let us see ourselves as we really are. We need to also see him as he really is. We need to come to a boil and to get on fire for him and repent of our indifference. The church don't repent no more. Our apathy, our lack of conviction and concern. The church feel like they don't need to repent. And that's the one that needs to repent. You would need to repent before you can help somebody else come to repentance. God help us to get it to him before his judgment falls upon our church of Laodicea. 1 Peter 4:17. The problem in Laodicea, the prescription of Laodicea, the promise of Laodicea. Our Lord closes his letter with some truly blessed promises. He promised us. The sad truth is that Laodicea has evicted Christ from the church. He's on the outside trying to gain admission to get in, people. We have put God out of the church. We is not in there anymore. We evicted him out of the service. We evicted him out of our services, out of our prayers, out of our preaching. We evicted him out. He's been evicted. Hey, God, he came by that abusa. A present promise, he said, I stand at the door, and I'm knocking at the church of Laodicea, and they have locked me out. In his effort to get back into his church, Jesus stands at the door, and he knocks. Hey, Jesus, these words are in the present tense. It could be stated this way. Behold, I am continually standing at the door. I am continually knocking on the door. He never gives up in his effort to enter the lives of those who love. He loves. I'm glad, my God, that he never gave up on me. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. A personal promise, if any man hear my voice and open the door, Jesus does that. He does not need for the world church to get on fire so that he does. He does not need for the world church so that he can come in. He merely needs for just one person to hear him and open the door. Jesus. Jesus is a gentleman. He will never knock. He will never call, but he will knock. You see, when he knocks on the door, the knob is not on the outside, it's on the inside. It's for you to open the door and he come in. You must open the door by an act of will. You must open the door and let him in. Praise God. There was a man, praise God, that was making a building. He was making a building and he was painting and everything. And the man walked by and told him, he said, but sir, it's a beautiful color that you have, praise God, but you made a mistake. And what is the mistake? The man asked the gentleman. The critic said, you forgot to paint a handle on the outside of the door. And then the man responded, there is no mistake. The handle is on the inside. Jesus knocks, but you must open the door. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said it, I promise. He said a precious promise. Sit with me. And he with me, and be with me. They use it. See, they did that, praise God. I want you to be with me. I want you to be a part of me. There's nothing to hear that I don't want to share with you, says the Lord. If you would just open the door and I will come in, fellowship with you. You can be a member of a dead church. But you don't have to be that way yourself. If you will open the door to Jesus, he will come into you. You can have revival in your life while everyone else sits around in deadness and apathy. Don't blame your dry condition on others. Open the door and let Jesus in. Open it. What he's saying, you must seek me for yourself. A powerful promise in verses is the promise that all that's the benefits of salvation will be given to the person who overcomes. The converted person will become identified with Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. This is a personal relationship. Because you're in a dead church, you don't have to be dead. His Heavenly Father hope. Those who will come to Jesus have promised that they will reign with him and rejoice with him heaven someday. That is a powerful promise. Powerful promise. You don't have to die. You don't have to die. You can live. Because the church of Laodicea has lost their glory. And Jesus speaks, praise God, to the church of Laodicea. He's speaking to a church filled with lost people. You think the church is saved, the church is lost. Because they say it's my church. It's not Jesus' church. It's my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. Laodicea was dying. With the church full of people dying on their way to hell. My God, I'm glad that he made that offer to me one day. And I'm glad that he gave me the grace to accept him. Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Can you be? If he's calling you to come to him just as he is. And he will not cast you out. He said, the church of Laodicea, you make me sick. And because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm going to vomit you out of my life, out of my sight, out of me. I'm going to vomit you out. You make me sick at my stomach. You make me sick. That's bad when the Lord said you make me sick. And where did this message find you today? Are you saved by his grace? Are you zealous and committed to the Lord and his work? Or are you indifferent and apathetic towards the things of the Lord? What we do today, praise God, in the churches of Laodicea, we do it to try to please our flesh and others around us. We did not do it, praise God, that God may get the glory. Hey, God, he said it, praise God. You're not even sympathy. You don't even have sympathy towards the things of the Lord. Can you hear his voice calling you? Or do you know his voice? He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Behold, he says, Jesus. Ha ha. Yeah, God, he said, behold, I stir and I knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sit with him and he with me. Is the door open? Does it need to be? He wants your fellowship with him. Does he have it? Are you seeking the Christ? Or are you just sitting in the church of Laodicea? Why sit ye here and die? Life is offered to you today. Is your door open? Does it need to be? Do you want your fellowship with him? Does he have it? All you have to do today is say, God, here am I. Come, I come to you as I am, without one plea. I come. I come to you, Father, because I realize I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Save me. Wash me. Cleanse me. I'm a sinner. I repent. I believe that you died on Calvary You died and you was resurrected. You was resurrected and you was resurrected from the dead. I believe. I believe, Father. And if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, I shall be saved. Lord, save me. Save me. Don't let me go down sitting in the church of Laodicea. Help me to seek your face while it yet can be found. He's inviting you to be saved. And his promise to them is making them come to Jesus is worthwhile. I pray, praise God, that you get the understanding. The Lord is saying today, because your church is singing and jumping and they shouting, you said it your church, but it's Jesus' church. You want to get in Jesus' church. Yes, he can tabe de sabata. Oh, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. You want to sit in Jesus' church that you may not miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you right now, you be blessed and realize, don't be caught in the church of Laodicea, but know that you're welcome in the church of Jesus Christ. You be blessed. Be blessed.